Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
This month at postwrestlingcafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. Postwrestlingcafe.com, $6 gets you in the door.
First time in a long time, but back like I never left. Taking these things as it comes, you know me, I don't read ahead. Watch me burn down everything, BBE on the TV set. When I'm in control on the road, you can never really know what's up next.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Braden Harrington here with Davey Portman for Up Next. You found us at postwrestling.com, whatever podcast app you choose to use. And it's Tuesday, December 30th, 9:30 p.m. We are
live on youtube.com/postwrestling. Hello, YouTube room. How are we doing?
Yes. Hello, postmarks worldwide. We are your NXT friends.
Friends.
It's going to be one of those shows, I can already tell. Yeah, let's really bring it into the new year with the NXT Awards, because it's the
Up Next Awards. I was just pausing for everyone to join in, you see?
Yeah, everyone does it in their head.
Exactly,
and
yeah.
And then you do it. It's like exactly. A sitcom when you let the...
It's like, you know, when The Rock goes, if you smell what The Rock, and everyone goes, he's cooking, and he pauses for 5 minutes. And
just and like that.
Shaves time off the main event just to milk the crowd. That's what I'm trying here.
We are your NXT friends. We are a little early here. We're your friends that are early to your New Year's Eve party. We're like, hey, sorry, everyone come after 8? We're not. We didn't wait. We're Canadian. We have Netflix. Therefore, no commercial interruptions, just NXT straight through, and it's a taped edition. Next week will be New Year's Evil, so we'll be back to the live format. We'll be back at our regular time slot of 10:05 p.m., so apologies to the people who maybe tune in later, be like, oh, you're already talking about it. But
I'm already looking forward to the next tape show.
When's the next tape show?
I don't know, but I'm excited for it. I've been enjoying these.
There is still
hour 20 minute.
There is not a single commercial and there's no picture in picture. So it is like straight through. So it is kind of nice. Like WWE shows on replay are a breeze to watch because you just hit that little button. But when you watch like a WWE PLE, it feels like it's definitely is a bit more of a struggle. But yes, we like tape shows here. So we're starting a little bit early and we're going to talk about the last episode of NXT of 2025, including the NXT Awards. And we're going to go through that. And then, yes, be back to our normal schedule. Looking forward to some New Year's Evil next week. But We're happy. It's the new year. Last episode of NXT, but it's the last episode of Up Next for 2025.
Yeah, so we're here once again. How many of these have we done now?
How many?
2018, right? Was the first one. So
I think so.
Yeah, this is our what, 8th year-end award? Crazy.
Wow.
Crazy.
We're already up there. I guess WrestleMania season would be that, right?
It would, yeah.
Be 8 years?
9 years? 8 years. I don't know.
Yeah. Steiner math. Well, we'll always be your NXT friends. We'll be here next Tuesday to talk about that. But hey, maybe you're a longtime listener all the way back. We appreciate you. But we also like new listeners too. So hello. And there's always time to catch up because we may be your NXT friends, but we do a whole lot more. We are Up Next on Tuesday nights, but we are also known collectively as Poison Rana podcast. So go search us in your podcast feed, whatever it is, Spotify, Apple, YouTube, and search Poison Ranapod, give us a follow and check out all the other shows that we do, because just yesterday, we were a few days after the weekend. We survived the world's end, but we spent a few hours yesterday talking about all the other stuff in the world of pro wrestling this week, including all the thoughts and discussion on AEW's world's end, including Jon Moxley, Continental Classic, MJF winning the World Heavyweight Championship back, and so much more. Hear all our thoughts on World's End, plus a little preview for this weekend. Hiroshi Tanahashi, Go Ace, is retiring. Yeah. So we did a little preview for Wrestle Kingdom as well. Maybe you're someone out there who's crazy enough to watch it live. And
I was just thinking, like, we didn't mention this on the show, but like the arguably the biggest match in New Japan history. Like, it sold out this dome. And they have Okada wrestle two singles matches a week before in a different continent. Like, can you imagine? Like, these AEW shows, like, aren't without injuries. We saw Mox having a broken tooth and all that. And yeah, there's been all this discourse with the, you know, the head neck drop spot in a couple of matches, with William Regal tweeting and stuff. Can you imagine if something happened to Okada in one of these matches a week before this match, Nahashi?
Shibata put his brain back in and be like, put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. Or Nakamura, get that wallet out. I don't know. I really don't know what they would have done. But yeah, like, not only a week ago. Like, a straight week. This was Sunday. No, this was Saturday. And that's when it will be Japan time. So, wow. Yeah, two big matches. And that is kind of risky, but he's Okada. He didn't get too violent in those matches. So I guess
he lets everyone else do it, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He just walks around.
He just does like a drop kick.
Yeah.
Calls people bitch.
Yeah.
It's pretty much his thing now. But maybe you will be someone who will be staying up late this Saturday. I'm deciding. There's a few of us in the friend group that are seeming crazy enough to do it. I'm like, I don't know. I want to watch the Okada Tanahashi. I know I can just watch it the next day, but it still is fun watching live and with your friends. So if there's anyone out there crazy enough, we will be doing a Poison Rana live this upcoming Sunday at 4 p.m., giving us some time to catch up for those who want to watch, but going live on our YouTube, audio up in the podcast feed after that. So again, give us a follow if you haven't already. If you're into the Nuge, this is something for you. On Sunday, we'll go through the entire Wrestle Kingdom 20, including Tanahashi retirement match. So very excited. But give us a follow. We just did our World's End show, plus tons of other pods on the free feed and on our YouTube and Instagram, Facebook, all the fun stuff. But go check out all the stuff that we got going on.
We have a lot going on our Patreon as well. You can go to patreon.com/poisonandrana for only $5 a month. And we've been doing all our holiday season shows. We just had our holiday touchdown, a Bills love story review.
We were
joined by Golden Graham and Buffalo Caleb, two big Buffalo Bills fans, to join us for this.
Bills Mafia.
Yeah, we assembled the Bills Mafia for this Hallmark Bills love story, which was a lot of fun. It was a love story to Buffalo from the four of us.
You ever want to hear four grown men talk about a Hallmark Christmas movie about the Buffalo Bills featuring some of the Buffalo Bills? I think. I don't really remember who, but yeah, this is the movie for you. Christmas Hallmark movies are a thing, and I think they are ridiculous, and I don't really have any reason to ever watch them, but this was pretty funny to look and talk about. So I guess the connection worked. There's NFL is going to do more of these movies, but this made for some hilarious discussion as we just chopped this movie to pieces. But check out that podcast as well as our Home Alone 3, the patriarch of post wrestling. John Pollock joined us to talk about the third installment. This is the third time he's joined us for our Home Alone reviews. And we definitely were home alone as we watched Max Keeble defend against, what were they, terrorist ops who were getting microchips for missiles in North Korea. I don't know, but it's an insane movie. Even more insane review on the Patreon. Plus, we have tons of other movies. We've recently reviewed GoldenEye as well as tons more, some War Games. but it's becoming the end of the year, which means the new year is coming. And in the next coming weeks, we are going to be working on the best match ever, 2025, part one and part two. And we usually put it to some of our listeners. We have a Facebook page and a group that you can join. We will be putting up a bit of a poll where you can put in your top 10 and we kind of put them all through a machine and then compile our top 10 list. So stay tuned for this two-parter podcast series, as well as other series. What's Next is a podcast series. We go through retro NXT. The last episode, we talked about the debut of Becky Lynch. So that was a whole lot of fun. We go through retro NXT, and we are currently in 2014, right? Is that right?
2014. So. Yeah, we're in the summer now of 2014. So we're going to be having some debuts coming up. I say relatively soon. We do one show a month, so it could be a couple of years still before we get to these. But yes, we're in the middle of 2014, a great year in NXT, and really where I think everything started to kick off and be at the beginning of that black and gold era as we know it.
As well as The Champ Is Here, we will eventually get back to that in January with another episode. We've been going through all the John Cena title wins, and we haven't forgot about that. We have some even fun stuff planned for the new year. So appreciate everyone. If you like to support, it's free to follow us on YouTube, Instagram, or anything that you use to check out all the free content. But we do have a Patreon. It's only $5, and it's hundreds of different podcasts at your leisure. For those long drives, hot showers, we got you, fam. We got you through these holiday seasons. And I hope you're having the holidays. I hope you're surviving the holidays. Hope they've been good. Some people don't like them. I understand. Maybe you don't like your in-laws or something, but the wrestling content never stops. Shout out John Pollock waiting for the post-wrestling Christmas show, the infamous post-wrestling Christmas show. We were lucky enough to be guests on that again. And of course, everyone who's been working with post-wrestling, including the website, including tons of the like reports and news and everything this year. I know we're just our NXT guys, but we like being part of the post wrestling world. And it's cool to see all the listeners show some love around the holidays and everything with the Christmas show and everything. And shout out Brandon Thurston at postwrestling.com for breaking some news in the past few days. I know he will be joining John for a big show this Wednesday. So look forward to that as always. But appreciate the love. Like some love right now, I see in the chat. Bonnie says, you guys are the best. Loved the surprise Monday Poison Ron.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Appreciate the love to you. Peace and love to everyone.
Yeah, one final plug for our YouTube as well. If you haven't subscribed, youtube.com/@PoisonRanaPod. We do upload our Sunday show every week. We've got a few other shows up there, some of our Patreon stuff that we've released for free on there. But we do have our Christmas party as well, you can listen to the audio on our free feed, but I do think it's worth checking out the video, throwing it on in the background while you're cooking or something, because there was some fun visual elements to that show as well.
Yes, we had lots of friends and some guests from other pods join us as well. Maddie Edwards from Grapple doing a hell of a gauntlet in some WWF champion trivia. And then our champ, Fire Frank, coming in hot as he always does and successfully defended in a wild 2025 game of trivia that you put myself included through. And I think I was third, but
you did Frank all right.
Frank destroyed everyone. So of course, so one day we will get Maddie and Frank one-on-one and the world shall rejoice, but very excited.
It has to happen.
Yes,
it really does.
So check out the Christmas party if you haven't already. That was a whole lot of fun getting messy and rowdy. We drank a lot of eggnog, if I'm not mistaken, on that
show. Too much. I think I've been put off eggnog this year, and I bought way too much, but I'll try and finish it as best as I can.
I made a bad mistake. You know, Tuesdays we watch NXT. I had leftover, I had multiple Christmases, but I had some Vietnamese food, and I added some spicy stuff to it. And then I realized I also had eggnog, and I don't know why, but I had Viet food, and then while watching NXT, I had some eggnog, and I feel like this is playing Russian roulette while sitting here recording a podcast now, because who knows what could happen to my body. So bear with me during
well,
this
I'll just make sure to talk in depth about every single nomination of the awards show. Like, go month by month, episode by episode, we can break down Javon Evans' year, etc.
I just hope I survive. But if you haven't checked out our Poison Rana World's End show that we did do yesterday, Monday night, we did spend the first few minutes discussing our holidays and everything like that. So we hope to see you in the new year. And we are recording a Behind the BDE tomorrow, so we'll maybe go in a bit more depth about our holidays and everything. But I've been enjoying. I went to see Marty Supreme today.
Nice.
And I would really recommend. I thought it was a fantastic movie. One of my favorites this year for sure. And I went to go see it at 3 o'clock because it's Tuesday, cheap movie day, obviously. Mm. Completely sold out. I was like, whoa. So I woke up to go to a movie at 12 noon and it was completely sold out. Like, cinema is back.
Yeah.
Timothy Shyamalan knows how to promote, clearly, because I loved it. I can't recommend it enough, but definitely looking forward to seeing that Odyssey clip they played before of it is very interesting. So I know that's like what, next year or something, but
next summer, I think. But yeah, I'm super pumped for that. A big Christopher Nolan fan. And I actually did the play, the Odyssey, once, played Poseidon.
Nice.
So can't say I'm a massive lover of the classics, the Greek tragedies, but I love what Nolan does and the cast looks incredible. So looking forward to it.
Like, I don't necessarily think I've seen a Timothy Chalamet movie that comes to mind. I haven't, it might shock, I haven't seen Interstellar. I know he's in that. I haven't seen,
sorry, Wonka. Timothy Chalamet's in Interstellar?
Is he?
Are you thinking Dune?
Dune, sorry, is that what I'm thinking about? I haven't seen that.
I think so.
So I'm behind. I'm behind on a few. I think I've seen, like, he was in one of these Leo movies, maybe around COVID time, but It was not only was it Timothy's impressive promotional run for this movie, but coming on Cody Rhodes' podcast and name dropping the Boogeyman's shoot name definitely had my attention as a wrestling fan. But then he drops a rap song with some Scouse rapper who I think might be Benno from Grapple Under a Mask. I'm not quite sure on that, but crazy, crazy, weird way to promote a movie, but it worked. And then I watched this movie and I was like, damn, I think this was, it's up there with that and the Leo one as two of my favorites this year, I'd say. But I think you would really enjoy it, so I would love to hear your thoughts when you go check that out. But
I've been corrected, he wasn't Interstellar, but he was a little boy. Yeah. Can't remember that, but yeah, correct, you should watch Interstellar. Fantastic.
Yeah, I feel like that's a movie I might wait to, like, when it, like, plays in the theater or something.
It is stunning. Yeah, like, it whenever it comes back, it'll probably come out around the time Odyssey comes out, because they often replay a lot of his old movies in IMAX.
Like, to me, I like to see certain big movies, like, you know, like those old Avengers big ones on IMAX or whatever. But I saw Marty Supreme on 70mm and, like, it looks nice. It's awesome when you can see it like that. But yeah, definitely recommend. And I hate Kevin O'Leary, and I hate that he was so good in this movie. The dude from Shark Tank, is that the word he's from? He's not an actor, but he's in this movie. It's okay. So weird.
I can't think.
Anyways, but anything else you're going on? You feeling sick today, you said?
Just a little. Like, I feel I've been, like, fighting something for the last few weeks, but kind of pushing through with just the holiday season, and I'll feel fine, and then, like, I'll relax for a second and be like, oh, okay, I'm not feeling too great. But no, I'm all right. I'm alive. I'm breathing. Talking wrestling. Like,
well, speaking of alive and breathing, tomorrow on Behind the BDE 2025 in memoriam. Don't forget.
Oh, yes. Yes. For our family member patrons, we will be dropping
the big year,
getting in right before the end of the year, our 2025 Behind the BDE.
We lost a lot of good ones in 2025 and bad ones.
And some bad ones.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll talk about that tomorrow. But let's talk about the show we're here to talk about, and that is WWE NXT from December 30th, 2025, just creeping in as one of the last shows of the year. And tonight we'll feature the NXT awards, and we'll kind of go through them as they present them throughout this show. But we start things off with a title match the North American champion, Ethan Page, putting the title on the line against the challenger from TNA Wrestling, Moose, who comes out wearing gear that, to me, kind of looked like the Costco guy's gear.
A little bit. Like, I always find it weird when wrestlers have their own, like, face on their gear.
Yeah.
James Drake from Grizzled Young Vets always had his face on his arse. Face. And I remember you always said it looked like Charles Manson. Trent Barretta has Bill Murray on his tights.
But, yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of strange. Who would I have on my on my tights? Timothée Chalamet.
Yeah, that'd be sick. In the Marty Supreme with the glasses. Yeah,
that's sure, why not? He's everywhere else. Just him and Pedro Pascal just all over my gear for sure.
Gwyneth Paltrow just on it for no reason. Yeah. Well, Moose looking like the Costco guy to me, but he's still a beast. Right during the introductions in the ring, Ethan attacks him, but the ref rings the bell, so the match starts off. He tries to beat down on Moose, but Moose just comes back and spears him right away, so Ethan rolls out of the ring to avoid being pinned. He attacks Moose here back in the ring, hits a neck breaker as they go to break. When we come back, there's an uranage from Moose and then a senton followed up by a kip up here. He's getting fired up and then hits like the sky high sit out spine buster for a two count.
Eventually, I thought that looked really nice. Like yeah. Taking him off the top rope for the big spine buster.
Eventually there's the confidence breaker, which is like a code breaker or more of the single leg. Like,
is Gregory this the first Helms. Time it's been called that? Cause I like, noticed Bit calling it this.
Yeah.
Which is a good name for Ego.
I feel like he has used this before, but we've just maybe not picked up on it. But yes, the like jumping single leg, I think of Gregory Helms used to do this before it was the code breaker, but cool looking move. But Moose kicks out of this. Eventually they're fighting ringside and Moose spears Page into like part of the barricade, not the normal spot that we used to see, but breaks it and then gets back in the ring and hits another spear. But Page gets his foot on the rope. They're then fighting ringside again as Page is trying to evade him, but he backdrops Moose onto the steps, which very, very ouch, baby spot here. Ouch. Throws him back in the ring and then connects with the twisted grin and retains his North American championship. But yeah, that backdrop on the steps, definitely going to be feeling that one. But fun opening match here. You know, Moose is someone who, whenever we have seen on NXT, I think he's kind of shined. And I know we're familiar with him and from TNA and obviously things before that. But for anyone who's maybe like, oh, this is someone I'm not used to necessarily watching, I think you'd be pretty entertained with what he has to offer.
I always enjoy him. Like he's a big guy, but moves with so much speed and athleticism. And I think it partnered well with Ego because Ego's a big guy as well. And I thought for an opening match, this is exactly what I want. It was just as soon as the bell went, it just went at a pretty fast pace. And there was some cool stuff in there. I thought that backdrop on the steps looked really good and painful. And was kind of shocked like by the finish being as clean as it was. But then realistically, it's like, yeah, you've just been backdropped on some steps and then hit with the finisher. It should be over. But I was impressed. I think Ethan Page will be going through our wrestler of the year for NXT. And I think there's a good argument for Ethan Page to have taken that award because I think he's been fantastic all year round. I think this North American title run, like he is starting to now, you know, who would you say is the greatest North American champion of all time? Like I'd say Wes Lee was up there with all his like defenses and crazy matches he had. But I mean, Ethan Page now has really like defended this title a lot and has had some pretty good matches in it as well.
I had to look this up. Best North American champion of all time, Leon Ruff.
Right. Yes.
Never forget. Right. He had it for like a week or something. I forget
for a little bit.
Yeah. Never forget Leon Ruff. You know what? I thought this was a pretty fun opening match. Ethan Page has totally come into his own in 2025. Like we've been saying for a while now, broken record that I don't think he needs to be in NXT. I think him on the main roster would be absolute money for a lot of new people who've never seen him before. I think they would love to boo him. Like, he is a fun act, and we've seen the stuff with him in Chelsea. Clearly, that could be an avenue they explore in 2026. But I think having him do this exact, like, run with this North American title in NXT with the US title would be a really fun experiment to see. But
well, our dream of him being the one to beat Dragunov didn't come through because Carmelo Hayes now being the champion, but I can see Carmelo continuing the open challenge gimmick, and it is absolutely something you could do down the line.
Which I got to say, that match was awesome. That was one of the best SmackDown matches of the year, if not the best SmackDown match of the year.
I think SmackDown has been incredibly weak this year, but the US title, right when Sammy won it, has been like... It's been worth going out your way to watch every week these title defenses, because I think a lot of people stepped up. And even if, like, you know, like a lot of us, WWE's kind of like we've fallen out of interest a bit this year, like the quality hasn't been quite as good. It's worth sitting down for those 15, 20 minutes every week to watch, whether it's been Ilya, Sammy, and hopefully Melo can continue it, because, they've been fantastic.
I was a little worried there. It was a little hairy when Melo don't miss. But now Melo ain't missing. I thought that match was awesome. Yeah, one for WWE matches go, that was one of the best, I think, this year. And it was the kind of, I didn't see spoilers. I just like knew that I don't know how, I just didn't see spoilers, and I had watched it maybe on the Saturday, and I was like, whoa, this was awesome. And totally, it was Michael Cole and Graves doing like the oversell of like, this guy's never won a title, and if he doesn't here tonight, he's a loser. Yeah. He's such a loser if he doesn't. And it's like, whoa, dude, like, he has to win tonight, and he did. So I thought that was great. And maybe this means like bigger plans for Ilya going forward in 2026 as well. So yeah, I thought that was really good.
And I mean, Paige, we've got to have Ilya Gunther on the main roster at some point. Don't
one we? Day WrestleMania, right? Like, yeah. Or a SummerSlam, like you could pull that like break glass in emergency, like, yo, book this match, and then people will like go nuts for it. But I would like to see Ethan Page in the like SmackDown mid-card US title thing in the new year. I think it would work really well. But fun match here with him beating Moose as we go from that to the NXT Awards. And we'll start off looking over at some of the ones here. This is the first award for NXT Male Superstar of the Year. And the nominees are Javon Evans, Oba Femi, Ricky Saints, Trick Williams, and Ethan Page. I'll maybe ask you and maybe then give my two cents before we do reveal kind of who NXT revealed. They said this was by votes. This was online.
Yeah,
this
you is vote on .com for this, which I think often, tips your hat a little bit that it's quite often the baby faces winning this thing. Who would you have gone for? Of these?
I did right away comes to mind Javon Evans. Now, if we were like the PWI and mixed like what kayfabe involved, he hasn't won a lot. He loses a lot, actually. But when I think of NXT matches or moments from 2025, he has been the guy that has been the most exciting, has put on some of the best stuff. He, outside of NXT, did a lot of the main roster stuff, got a lot of new eyes on him.
He was in the open challenge as well that we were just talking about.
So I would say like he is my favorite to watch, and they'll remind you that he's 21 years old, and like that is just crazy to me. So he, not to say that Oba Femi hadn't had a good year too. Like, he is definitely someone that is like going to be a big star, hopefully, on the main roster. And like you said, Ethan Page is someone who really had a good year of kind of finding the right, I don't know, character, the right balance. He can be real nasty and real funny on a flip of a coin there. But I think those were the three guys that come to mind.
Yeah, for me, it was those three as well. I'd have put Ethan and Javon a little bit ahead of Oba. I think both Javon and Ethan Page have had more matches that I remember, and also just the amount of different stuff they've done. Like, if you think Ethan Page, not just NXT, but has been doing all the AAA stuff as well, the stuff with Chelsea. So it was really between those two, but Javon is so spectacular, and what a year he's had. So yeah, I'm not going to begrudge Javon Evans winning this.
Well, he is the one winning it. He is there with the golden ring bell, and he says that he's had one hell of a year. It's been the best year of his whole life. He said he wrestled in Vegas, and he wasn't even 21 yet, so he wasn't even allowed to be in Vegas. Wasn't allowed to go out or gamble, but he still was there. He says he went to Mexico, he went to MSG, and he says that this year was fire, but 2026 is going to be real bouncy yurt.
I think there's something really authentic when Javon speaks. Like, I think a lot of the time you can hear that it's an old white man writing for these people a lot of the time in WWE, whereas I think Javon manages to maintain that, like, youthful energy and sounds. I mean, not that I'm hanging out with 21-year-olds, but I can imagine 21-year-olds talking like Javon. I do think he needs to find a way to speak a little bit more clearly while still maintaining this youthful energy, because I do find a lot of the time he garbles his words a bit and isn't necessarily the best for TV, but I don't want him to sacrifice what he's got in trying to be understood, if that makes sense. He needs to find a bit of a middle ground.
Yeah. I just still find it funny that his catchphrase is bouncy. Yeah. Like, have you seen the shirt? It just says bouncy on the back of it.
He's bouncy.
Bless him. Again, once he gets on the main roster, the Yeet and the Yurt tag team is going to be wild. Can't wait.
It's going to be annoying, but yeah.
Yurt.
I think Yeet's dead. He's back in a tag team. He's tag team champion again. We press the reset button.
You know what I...
reset the Usos, put them in the face paint and the bright colors.
You know what? After spending a few different Christmases and seeing relatives who've got younger kids than I am and nieces and nephews, I think this 6-7 thing is never going to go away. I don't think it's ever going to leave. So just buckle up. Yeah. Like, it is never. Once I saw Gunther do it on Raw, I was like, oh God.
I saw a clip the other day of Keir Starmer, the British Prime Minister. He's in like a primary school, and 6-7 comes up and he goes 6-7 and does it, and all the kids are doing it. Oh, and then one of the teachers pulls him aside and it's like, that is banned in this school. You cannot be encouraging these kids to be doing that.
Banned? But it doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything, but I think it's more just it's yelled out like thing. A teacher's trying to teach a lesson, and anytime 6-7 comes out, the whole class are yelling it and doing dumb hand. I don't know. When I was at school, we just let off stink bombs in the corridor. And
yeah. You know, I got in trouble once for, I had a keychain that was John Cena. And it said, if you push the button, it goes, the champ is here. And I would click it a lot. And then my friends would steal it from me and then click it during like the class. So the teacher got mad at that. But then friends of the champ is here. But still not offensive. Like, if the kids walking around, if 6-7 was something that was like mean or nasty. But
yeah.
I just don't fucking get it, but it's on Javon Evans' t-shirt on the front. So that boy is bouncy. We go backstage. It's the Culling, and Izzy is going off. Hey, Nico Vance is alive, everybody.
Yeah, this was weird, right? Like, because they kind of...
Sorry, you're upset he's alive?
Yeah, I kind of am.
No, I mean, you mean the character, not the actual...
Just the... For storyline purposes, we were led to believe a week ago that Tatum maybe
he was dead.
What butchered him with a chainsaw.
Murdered.
And was then after Sean Spears. And then he's just there. They don't even, it's not even like, you know, where back in the day when Dexter Lumis would kidnap someone and then the next week Roddy Strong is just terrified because he was held captive. Yeah. And there's just some stupid line where like, oh yeah, eventually he let me go or whatever. Nico is just here like nothing ever happened. It's a little odd.
Right. Wasn't Roddy afraid of trunks? Was that it? And then Gargano was afraid of wheels.
Gargano was afraid of wheels.
Dexter Lumis.
Roddy was afraid of trunk. Oh, trunks. Yeah. Like boots, like car boots.
Trunks. Yeah, yeah. Like the trunk of a car.
Gotcha.
But then Dexter Lumis, didn't he like kill someone on TNA?
Like, oh, yeah. He's killed many people.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the Culling is here. Nico Vance is alive, for anyone who was keeping score on that. Izzy is going off saying, like, a chainsaw, these dolls, this woman is crazy. And she says they got to go to the ring because she's going to tell Tatum a piece of her mind. But Sean Spears says, we're not going to go with you. We don't think it's right. So Izzy goes to the ring. I'll do it myself.
So they're both, like, both Nico and Sean are scared now. So Izzy's on her own.
She pulled the blade out. Like, she pulled a fucking chainsaw out on them. So
yeah, I would be
scared too. We thought this man was dead. So I would be scared too. If he's a walking ghost, this Nico Vance. We go to commercial, but when we come back, Ren Sinclair is attacked backstage. I'm sure there was pipes.
Kendall's attacked.
Sorry. Ren is checking on Kendall because Kendall has been taken out backstage, and bless Ren Sinclair, but she's just screaming at the top of her lungs here. Help anyone, please. Help.
I always find it funny. It happens in movies and TV shows all the time where, look, it's 2025. We all have our cell phone on us all the time. Someone will find someone and they'll run up to them and they'll go, somebody call an ambulance. You call an ambulance.
Yeah.
Like, why are you yelling for any passerby to hear you? Like, just call the ambulance.
But NXT is an unsafe workplace environment, right? Like,
for sure.
We can all agree. Like, this, there was no one checking on her here. They're like, evolve.
This happens. Just another Tuesday. You know,
yeah, sorry. We didn't get any security tonight. Last show of the year. Sorry, Kendall. But so Kendall is being checked on, I guess, and she might not be able to be ringside for Ren's match later tonight against JC. So we shall see. But help anyone, please. I hate watching movies or TV shows, especially if I have the volume real loud when they're shouting, help anyone. Like, I live in a condo. I just don't want people thinking, like, maybe that someone is screaming that in my house. Does anyone get that feeling?
Has anyone ever come to help you?
No one ever comes and helps me in my life. No. Trust me. We go to Izzy Dane in the ring. She has a microphone. She says, Tatum, you thought you and your broken heart and all your tactics could scare me. We know your heart can't be fixed, and there's nothing that you can do to scare me, whether it's dolls, chainsaws. I maybe would have led with the chainsaws there, but yes, none of those things scare me. And says, you're clearly spiraling. And Tatum, it's pathetic. Because I was never the villain when she's interrupted. Out comes Tatum Paxley without a chainsaw here, unfortunately. She says, I'm sorry, Izzy. I'm sorry that you're just so insecure. And I don't need friends like you or the Culling. All I need is the people and the friends who've been there from day one. And I mean all of you to the NXT universe. And Izzy says, yeah, well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What's your next move, Tatum? And says that you're the roadblock in my way. And there's no Spears and there's no chainsaw and there's no Nico. It's just going to be you and me next week. And they have a bit of a face-to-face. And Izzy says, playtime is over. I know we've complained about this before, but who is that booing guy? Ugh. Because he sucks. If you do this every week, don't go to the show, brother. What are you? There was so many people in this small crowd yelling at this guy to shut up during this promo, because it's like that guy in traffic who he might be 3-4 cars deep. He ain't turning anytime soon in this like traffic jam, but he just leans on the horn.
Yeah.
And never lets go. And that doesn't help anyone. And that is this one guy who has been at countless NXT tapings and episodes, live shows, whatever, for years now, it seems. And this guy just goes there to I don't know, get himself over or ruin the show. It's not like he's booing it for like heel, you know, part of the show. He's just booing loudly, obnoxiously. It is brutal.
I'm starting to feel a little conflicted about the whole I you know, the Dominic Mysterio heat, the Don Callis heat, which is just drowning out, because it's now happening with any heel.
Yes.
And it's meaningless. Like I think the main one, Dom, when that first happened, I think it was so effective, because at the time Dom was such a dweeb. right? Like he's Ray's son, bit of a nepo baby, wasn't fantastic in the ring or anything. And the turn was such a great moment that it was justified. This is nothing against Izzy Dame, but it's Izzy Dame in NXT, and we're giving her the Dom Mysterio treatment. And I don't think it's justified. And I'm watching it just going, can I just hear her do a promo?
Okay.
And then can you just boo when she says a line that you should boo?
I you're allowed to. Okay. Like, I feel like that's at least people are booing. And like the way it used to be when we watch like older wrestling, like people are just so much more invested into it. And I hate when a crowd is quiet and like,
I agree. On their hands. And that's kind of why I'm conflicted. But yeah. It's now, I don't know. Like, I don't think like Izzy's been good. I think Izzy's improving a lot, but Izzy isn't pulling off generational heel heat here, you know? Yet she's getting this reaction. It's just the new thing, I think. It's the new singing along with the entrance theme, the new daddy call for every
But he's not name. This guy doing it is not like everyone here is booing him. He's just doing it. Like,
oh, he's an irritant. Yeah.
He doesn't even stop. He just lets it go. And then he takes a breath and then does it again. It's just like long droning booing. And like this is the PC, but this is small. There's not that many people there. So yeah, I can't stand this booing guy. So any wrestler who's had to talk through this guy yelling at you like this, all the power to you. So Izzy Tatum, bless, because that guy would piss me the hell off. Like, how has he not been banned yet?
Yeah.
Like, all these times we've referenced, have no one else who's watched the show picked up that this guy sucks? I see someone in the chat, 89 The Brainchild, NJ, interesting name, says they can ban West Side Gun, but not the booing guy. Great. Point you bring up there.
I thought, you know, I haven't loved this feud. I do appreciate, you know, in that we have feuds for women on this show that don't involve a title. I think that's a good thing. And I think Izzy's really come into her own in this character and doesn't really need the culling. Like, I think the culling should ditch her now at this point. But I'm ready for both characters to move on. And I'm hoping next week's gets rid. I hope Tatum's telling the truth. No goofiness, no dolls, no chainsaws. I hope we just get a proper grudge match between these two and then we can move on.
It should almost be a cage match.
I thought they were going to do, they like to do those weaponized cage matches, don't they?
Right.
Thought they were going to do that. So
just a chainsaw?
Maybe that'll be, we'll have the rubber match, right? Because we've had one match so far.
True. Well, this one is the culling are banned from ringside.
Yeah.
Is the stipulation of this match. But
that'll stop him.
I'm not really liking this feud whatsoever. I don't know if it's the culling is just not a thing I'm interested in. I like Tatum. I think there's definitely something there. I think there's something there with Izzy too, but something about this feud just, I don't know, it's not necessarily doing it for me. 89 The Brainchild in the chat also says that 6-7 is rooted in crime. I can link you to an article for real, for real. Interesting coming from a guy with the name 89 The Brainchild. Clearly, you've got an MO here to try to get 89 more over than 6-7. So nice try, 89. Nice try. Not today. But if it is linked to crime, let us know for real. For real. Because maybe we didn't know that is. It's a bad thing, but it's on a WWE shirt. Little kids say it. How could it be bad? How could it be bad? How could they ban that in a school? When I was like 10, if I said suck it, I'd get in trouble, but you can't say 6-7. That is ridiculous.
Nah, but it's whatever's distracting from class. You know, Pokemon cards don't hurt anyone, but they certainly got banned from my school.
Shut up, Pokemon. We go to NXT Awards Tag Team of the Year.
Oof.
Oh, yes. Now, this isn't just men tag team. Oh, no, because there's others. We have the nominees are Dark State, which is really a quintuple. No. What is it?
I mean, I read them out. I'll give my thoughts. But yeah.
Dark State, Hank and Tank, Zoruka, Fatal Influence, and The Culling.
Yeah. I mean, I think just this award showed how weak the tag division's been in 2025 because Fatal Influence, not really a tag team. Like, they've all tagged with each other, but haven't really been a proper, they've been more of a, just a unit, haven't they? A trio.
Yeah.
Same with Dark State. I mean, Dark State, I guess, are tag champions, but even then they switch the belts. And then what was it? Hank and Tank, who, yeah, they're a proper tag team.
They were champions. They beat Axiom this year.
The Culling, like, I've seen maybe two Culling tag matches. Again, they're not really known for being a tag team. They're more of just a group, a cult.
Yeah.
And then Zaruka. Like, I just thought this showed how weak the tag division's been this year.
Well, the tag team that has not won any gold wins tag team of the year, because Zaruka wins, as we have Sol Ruka and Zarya with the golden bells. They say, we've had our ups and downs, but we are so thankful that it wasn't just us winning, but we're not men, and we're not from SmackDown or Raw, but like, we did this and we won this, and 2026 is going to be even better. So Zaruka, which, you know, kayfabe wise doesn't really make sense. I think I would have went with Hank and Tank, but again, that shows just how like shallow the wave pool of NXT tag teams are in this year. But
yeah, I'd have probably gone for Hank and Tank. I think it's a shame that we're not getting to the split yet, because I think this award would have been the perfect opportunity to do it
in the ring,
especially in the ring. And I mean, maybe we can do that New Year's Evil. Maybe they both come out with their, you know, spoilers skipping ahead, but Sol with her golden bell as well.
Yeah.
And Sol can be like, Zarya, you take this one because I've got this one. And then Zarya clocks her in the head with it.
I think I need to see it soon.
Yeah.
I think we need to get to that pretty soon. And I'm still not sure who's the bad guy in this situation. I think it just makes sense with Zarya because she's the bigger, scarier one. But
Sol is
a bit of the mean one, really.
I don't think they'll... Yeah, we've seen elements of that. Yeah. But I don't think they'll risk a Sol Ruka heel turn quite yet.
What even is a chill surfer heel gimmick?
Exactly, yeah.
Like Point Break?
And it's like what is still it? Her moveset. Like, how she changed that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I do think Zarya's got to be the one. But then it's the classic, like, the heel... who's warranted. Like, this is why I beat you up.
I think the fact that they're all, you know, we've had it, will they, won't they, for a long time. Yeah. And now we've got them like fully on the same page, fully embracing each other. They've got to do this before you pull it away again. So yeah, I think we're getting close.
I would have went with Hank and Tank though. Like, they were champions in NXT and Noah.
NXT and Noah, yeah.
And they had some great Yakudas on, some great Japanese attire. So I would have picked them. But yeah, the tag team division was pretty weak in 2025. Let's fix that next year. Is that something, you know, we complained in the later half of 2024 and the early half of 2025 that the men's division in NXT was something that was just bare bones. And at least they've kind of juiced that up. You know, Javon's been a big star this year. Ricky Saints has come in, turned heel now. Like, Ethan Page kind of turning a new leaf with this character. Like, I feel like they've maybe fixed some of it. Like, they've at least tried to. Whereas the tag division, it feels like they didn't even try.
No.
We had the Hardy Boys.
It was all just Hank and Tank against, the Hardys and all these other Fraxium Street Profits. But, like, yeah, we need to boost this team. And, sorry, OTM ain't it. Would like more of Swipe Right, though.
Yes, that's a team definitely to look forward to in 2026. So fix the tag teams in NXT. We go to our next match. JC Jane from Fatal Influence, the NXT Women's Champion, with Fallon Henley and Lainey Reed, taking on Ren Sinclair alone because Kendall Gray was attacked suspiciously backstage. Wonder who that could have been. JC beats down on Ren here, hits some short arm clotheslines, but Ren starts to fight back and starts to work the arm. There's a like arm wrenches and then a PK to the arm. And then there's a distraction from Lainey, allowing JC to hit a super kick. This is where they go to break, but Booker T, obviously a big JC Jane cheerleader, starts to sing Ring My Bell. Or was he just yelling Ring My Bell? And I just thought of the song, but Booker T, bless him. When we come back, Ren is firing up here. There's flying clotheslines and then butterfly suplex. And then JC comes back with her V trigger for a two count. Eventually Ren wiggles JC into the cattle mutilation, very nice work from Ren Sinclair here, and then transitions that into a Fujiwara armbar. I thought that was
I love how she did this, where when she's got the like double underhooks of the cattle mutilation, she's like jumping around.
So I mean, she's wiggling,
well,
yeah,
like, yeah, to wiggle it and like, grind those shoulders even more.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit LGUSA.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
December on the Post Wrestling Cafe, we have two editions of Rewind Away set for you, including a patron's pick where you have voted for us to review the Survivor Series from 1991, Hulk Hogan's Gravest Challenge. Then it's over to 2002 and a review of the very first WWE draft involving Raw and SmackDown as they kick off the brand extension. David Bitsenspan is going to join me as we review Video Killed the Radio Star, a documentary on Bubba the Love Sponge, and the sex tape involving Hulk Hogan. Plus, we will have reviews of TNA Final Resolution, New Japan's World Tag League Final, Collision Course every single week, and XL editions of Rewind to Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown. Sign up now at postwrestlingcafe.com.
I'll let you think on this, but like cattle mutilation should be her finisher of just like whatever, but how is there a way to make that into another Ren?
A Ren pun?
Because I'm not quite sure there. But and then he wouldn't use cattle mutilation as the
cattle wrench.
The cattle wrench, the wrench,
the like wrench.
Something wrench. Yeah,
yeah. Well,
the Sinclair wrench. Eventually, she does put her in this Fujiwara armbar again, but JC rolls out of it, eventually hits the rolling encore, and JC Jane pins Ren Sinclair to win the match here. After the match, Fatal Influence attack Ren Sinclair. They're beating her down here. Booker T had my favorite Booker bite, as I call them, on the show here. As Vic is like, oh, the numbers game. Oh, what do you think about this book? Because he's the big JC fan. And he says, it's just a little extracurricular activity as they're all putting the boots to Ren. But Kendall Gray comes out for the save. She clearly was attacked by them. And then she German suplexes all of them, sending them out, and stands tall because next week it will be Kendall versus JC for the women's championship. But I always think Ren shows up when she wrestles on TV. And I think we need to see more of that next year.
Absolutely. Like I thought for a quick match, this was pretty good. I thought both looked good here. And I loved Ren's submission game in this. And I liked that JC was even selling it after the match. She was selling that her arm has been destroyed and she kind of snuck this wing at this win here. I really hope 2026 we can elevate Ren a bit more, because I think she's been doing this job for a while now where she's just there to put other people over, and she's far too good. She's got a great personality. The crowd like her, and she can go in the ring. So why not? Big Time Baxter in the chat saying as well, Fallon and JC in the tag division and maybe keep Lainey NXT for further development.
Yeah,
I agree. Like he's also saying that he hopes Fatal Influence doesn't end up like Chase U or D'Angelo Family, where you just split the whole thing. I completely agree. I think JC should drop this title to Kendall next week. And then I'd have Fatal Influence move up, join the tag division, which they've done a great job in the last couple of months in really building on the main roster. And that can be have the two of them go up to challenge for the titles.
And I would like that
to develop.
Yeah, like Lainey was the late addition, right? Like, okay, Jasmine Nix, who we haven't heard about in a while. I guess maybe wrestling isn't necessarily something she's going to be focusing on outside of NXT. But I think if you were to put JC and Fallon together as a tag team on the main roster, that would be a great way to bring them up together at the same time. They have been here far too long. We are big fans. You know, JC has had one hell of a year, too. Don't get me wrong. I think she's pretty good. But we've been a big Fallon Henley fan for quite a long time. And I think she's someone who could break through when given the opportunity down the line. So it would be interesting to see what happens. But I mean, we'll definitely, before we go off finish tonight, we'll go through our kind of a little more predictions for it next week. But I would put the title on Kendall. I think that would be like a great way to get some like traction with the next kind of crop. If we are going to be doing some main roster call-ups, and she has just caught fire instantly. But watching this match, I agree. Every time Ren wrestles, it's a fun little match. I'd like to see more. So we go from that. We go to Joe Hendry warming up backstage, because we have Joe Hendry in concert on NXT. And oh boy, Booker T was doing his best Taz here, just singing along to Joe Hendry's theme song.
Has Booker been a big Joe Hendry fan in the past? Has Joe Hendry recently been on Reality of Wrestling?
He's been on it like time ago, like okay. A year ago. Like,
right.
Yeah. He's been on Reality of Wrestling, but maybe Booker was just like last taping of the year and just, I don't know. Did he DoorDash himself some spiked eggnog for this show? Cause he was singing this song like a lot. It was for like what seemed like at least a few minutes here, just him singing, wave your hands aside. It was pretty funny. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
We come back, Joe Hendry in the ring with a guitar, just like he did on SmackDown, singing about Miz's tiny balls.
Tiny balls.
What was wild was he made reference to the Miz and the gear and the locker room. That's fucking wild, dude. You know what that referencing.
What did he say?
On the SmackDown song, when he's singing about the Miz, he sings like, everyone knows that you've been kicked out of the locker room for half your career or something along those lines. Oh my God. It's referencing when Benoit kicked him out of the.
Yeah.
Joe, damn, bro. Wild. It didn't get that wild here. Joe Hendry, I thought, looked good in that SmackDown concert for people who maybe were like, oh, cool. He's making fun of the Miz's balls. We're here. He just did the exact same thing he's been doing when it's been on NXT. Joe Hendry singing some songs.
Yeah. Sorry? If this is last NXT appearance, though.
Maybe he's got some things to finish with Dark State, as we'll get into. True. But
yeah.
He says 2025 is a big year for me, so clap your hands as I'm going to sing you a song. I'll try to paraphrase some of the lyrics here as he sings and plays the guitar. He says, NXT was a special year. We admire. The women's division was on fire. Javon is bouncy and looks up at the sky. Ethan and Chelsea had to eat some pie. Ethan, two titles, thought he was going far, but an iguana stole his car. And then the chorus is, join us on CW. You won't believe your eyes. NXT was the show for me in 2025. Was NXT the show for you in 2025?
No. It wasn't my least favorite show of 2025, but it wasn't the show for me in 2025. Yeah. But I, you know, if I had Joe Hendry's year, I'd probably say NXT was the show for me in 2025.
He continues, Trick Williams, he was champ for so long, and then he also released terrible songs. He says, Ricky, we thought he was cool and rich, but he lost the NXT title, and he's a whiny, as he lets the crowd fill in the gaps. Oh, so shocking. He then says, no one knew who Dark State was until Joe made them famous, and the lights go out. Say their name. And they appear. Dark State jump Joe Hendry. They hit him with the Dark State Shield High Spirits Bomb or whatever.
Do we have a name for that yet?
The High Spirits Shield Bomb. Just call it the Dark Bomb? No. Dark State. We'll work on it.
Yeah.
They beat up Joe Hendry. Say their name. So they did Joe Hendry's shtick here. When he said their name, they appeared and they beat him up. That's what makes me think. He still has like some,
I guess so,
unfinished business with them, but not my favorite Joe Hendry song this week that I heard from him.
No, it was fine. It's I enjoy the act to an extent, but I can't say the songs ever blow me away.
There are no rock concerts, are they?
No.
Right? We're fresh on watching some of those rock concerts. Yeah. My favorite is the WrestleMania 19 build. Rock concerts. Those ones are the best, I think.
With Austin?
Leading to the WrestleMania.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So what? Do you think Joe and Lennox? Dion Lennox?
True.
Are we just going to have another tag? Because we've seen Joe tag against these guys quite a bit. I prefer to see a singles match, maybe.
Yeah.
And maybe give the win to Dion Lennox as Joe Henry gets moved up.
Yeah, Joe should definitely be on SmackDown or Raw or whatever, doing the songs thing, I think could definitely get over. We go backstage. Ava, in her office, when she walks in, she sees Blake Monroe in her bathrobe just crying and sad. And she's like, why are you so sad? Like, you got your rematch. And she's like, no, I've been having a horrible week and horrible time. I've lost everything. She's like, look, you have your match next week. Maybe we need the glamour back to win your title back. So she's like, maybe you're right. So next week, will we see return?
You missed the main bit of this was Blake was saying, we can't have the same referee that match.
Oh,
and she was like, please, Ava, tell me it won't be the same ref. And, you know, Ava can't stand Blake Monroe, but you could see in Ava's eyes, she was almost sympathetic. She's like, I can't promise, but I'll see what I can do. So Blake continuing to blame the ref.
What would be funny is it's a different ref. And then, of course, some shenanigans happen. And then this ref has to run in.
Yeah.
And she freaks out.
Either that or it's the original ref, but with like a comedy mustache on or something.
Glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah. Poor Ava. Sorry, poor Blake. I for a second, when the camera panned Ava walking into her office, I wasn't sure if that was Blake Monroe in her bathrobe or you from your Instagram post.
I got two dressing gowns this Christmas. Yeah. So
Davey Hefner over here with the bathrobes. Next time I come over, you're just going to be in your bathrobe.
So I got at the bar I go to, I said this on Poison Rana, but I got a bathrobe from my Secret Santa. So I'm wearing this in the bar. And then I got sent a picture yesterday of me wearing it in the bar. So with zero context, I just did a like purple space background, cut myself out and put it out there. And so many people were just like, what?
Why are you in this bathrobe?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just I'm going to take that photo of you in a bathrobe and Photoshop you and next to Bill Clinton or something. Go follow Davey on Instagram and check this
black,
out.
A black square on my face.
You know what you need next? You have nice bathrobes, but you need those really nice, shiny shirts, you know?
Okay. What, like Joe Henry?
Well, I was thinking more of Bill Clinton again there those photos that with him in those really shiny shirts. They kind of Joe Henry's is blue, but it's a shiny blue shirt, right?
Yeah.
Guess it's nice. I guess. We get some videos sent in here because next week at New Year's Evil, Oba Femi will be defending the NXT Championship against TNA X Division champion Leon Slater in a big matchup next week. So we have some videos from NXT and TNA stars giving their two cents and predictions. We have Matt Cardona, who says Leon Slater. Basically, anyone TNA here is like, Leon's winning.
How much did Matt Cardona charge for this video?
He was in his room with his merch. I'm surprised, knowing wrestlers, it wasn't one of them wasn't sent in from their car. Shout out wrestlers doing promos in their car. Shout out Kurt Angle did a cameo this holiday season. Straight up did it while he was on the toilet, and someone shared that on social media. Bless Kurt Angle. I wish they had Kurt Angle's thoughts on who was going to win, and he's just on the crapper like, yeah, I think Leon Slater's really got this one. So Cardona picks Leon. Elias picks Leon. Ariana and Stax, they can't agree, but I think they eventually say Leon. Mike Santana says Leon. Everyone says Leon. Hank and Tank, they can't decide, but Oba or Leon. And and we get a little video package for that match next week. So it would be crazy if Leon won. I think that would be nuts. I just do not see that happening. But I do think Oba should be moving up sooner rather than
later. So did you catch any of Raw yesterday?
No, I did not, actually.
They had a vignette for Oba Femi.
Wow. So Leon Slater, let's go, baby.
Maybe. Let's who knows?
Go.
But
go, bruv.
But yeah, it seems like Trick and Javon, they've been on Raw and SmackDown doing the free agent thing. So they're both getting called up for sure. We saw the Oba Femi vignette, and obviously Joe Henry just did the stuff with The Miz. So I'm assuming those four. You'd have to assume some women as well. I mean, I think the SmackDown women's division needs some people. So possibly Fatal Influence coming up in the new year.
Nice. Well, let's see. Is there a chance Leon Slater could be the one? That'd be wild. I would love that. It would be such a shocker, but I'm looking forward to that match for sure. We go to the speed tournament. Tavion Heights versus Lexus King. Tavion Heights wins with the running belly to belly in 9 seconds to pin Lexus King. One of my favorite speed matches that we've seen so far on NXT, because it was 9 seconds.
I'm surprised it's taken them this long to figure this out. This was great. I still don't care about this tournament. Tavion Heights versus what's his name? Fuck. Jasper Troy. Doesn't sound particularly exciting to me. I thought this was what it needed to be. What does this mean for Lexus King, though?
You lost to, like, really quickly. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Talking about all these call-ups, like, I just don't see that guy working that.
No.
Like, don't see this gimmick. I don't see, like, the wrestling definitely. He's been here for some time, and I don't think necessarily the wrestling has improved or the character has improved. I know the facial hair maybe has improved for some people, but I don't know. I'm not quite sure where we go. Tavion either. I don't care about Jasper Troy, this speed tournament. So I was just happy this was over very quickly. You know, it's the holidays and we have Jasper Troy dressing like the ghost of Jacob Marley from Christmas Carol. So finally fits in his gimmick. He's been waiting all year for the Christmas Carol time, but yeah, I don't care about this. And I guess, sorry, what's the rest of this tournament? There's other matches?
No, it's is the final.
That was the final in 8 seconds.
Yeah. So wild. It'll be Jasper Troy versus Tavion Heights coming up. And then they'll do another one of these tournaments.
Great.
Yeah.
Jasper should beat Tavion in like 9 seconds.
Sure.
We get the NXT awards. Here we go. Match of the year in NXT. What was your match of the year? I'll read out these nominees are JC Jane versus Lola Vice at NXT No Mercy. Ethan Page versus Ricky Saints, Falls Count Anywhere at The Great American Bash. Obafemi versus Javon Evans at Heatwave. Oba versus Javon versus Trick at Stand and Deliver. Kalani, the Women's Iron Survivor Challenge. I'll ask you, I would say the ones in this list were the ones that came to my mind without having to like look anything up. I thought of Oba versus Javon one-on-one. That was really good. The triple threat with Trick, also really fun at Stand and Deliver. I think, I don't know if it's recency bias, but the Women's Iron Survivor was off the chain. I might go with that
personally. Yeah, I that was definitely in my mind. There is a bit of recency bias. I did really enjoy that Ricky Saints, Ethan Page match, because I remember the first match really didn't hit. And then we were like, man, that's what we've been looking for with that one. And I thought that was pretty good. It's so hard now because I think in previous years, like previous iterations of NXT, there were some really incredible matches that you do not forget. Like I'm thinking a lot of those, you know, DIY tags, Undisputed Era tags, those kind of things. There's still really good stuff that happens, but there's just so much more, you know, since the inception of AEW, it's so hard to keep track of everything. And I can't say that there were that many memorable matches in NXT this year, but that's not to mean there weren't good matches. So I think for me, the Iron Survivor was one of the more memorable matches of the year, but obviously it did only happen a few weeks ago.
I left out one as well. Sol Ruka versus Kalani Jordan at Battleground was one.
Right. Which both of their matches so far have been really good.
Like, I agree. I think like we are going to do a show. We do this show where we get, like we said off the top, where we get listeners to help vote. And then we do our vote of top 10 matches. And then each episode we count down from 10 to 5 and 5 to 1 on each show. Best matches of the year. And I know we are up next, the NXT Friends, but I don't think any of them will make my top 10. And if one of them did, I would put the Women's Iron Survivor.
Me too.
So that's probably why I would pick that. Like this year, there was a lot of great matches. And I think NXT, that there was some good matches, some good moments. But even main roster had some stuff that was maybe above majority of NXT this year. It was pretty hit and miss year.
As realistically, it should.
Right. Well, we kind of said our piece. I think both of us kind of agree that it might be recency bias, but the Women's Iron Survivor was our favorite NXT match of the year. But did it win? It did not, because the winner was Oba Femi versus Trick Williams versus Javon Evans at Stand and Deliver. Yes. I'm sure some people would be okay with that or would agree with that for NXT match of the year, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. They didn't do this on the show, but did they do best PLE? I think they maybe have done online.
They didn't. And it was on the list on their let's have a look.
I see here that on the year-end awards Wikipedia page, because obviously that's what I trust for my information, Stand and Deliver was the one that won. So I'm assuming they did this on like Twitter or something like that. But
let's have a look at the car. I'd have put Deadline up there. I really enjoyed that show. But again, recency bias. So Stand and Deliver had the triple threat match. It had Vicare versus Julia, Jada Parker, Jordan Grace, Dark State versus the D'Angelo family, Soul, Izzy, Kalani, Lola, Thea, and Zarya in the ladder match, Hank and Tank versus Fraxium, which was really good, Ricky Saints versus Ethan Page.
I have a few of the other ones. Excuse me. We have Roadblock. That was one a little while ago. We had the Hardys versus Fraxium, Jordan Grace, Roxanne, Oba Moose, Javon, Ethan Page, and Stephanie Julia when Stephanie won the title there. So that one was pretty good. But I think that was like a TV special, if I'm not mistaken. But I think Stand and Deliver was one of the better PLEs, I think, from this year, if I have to think off the top of my head. But Vengeance Day, New Year's Evil, Halloween Havoc, No Mercy. I'd say Stand and Deliver. Was that what you would say?
I like Deadline as well. Right. But maybe that was just because those two
Iron Survivor. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, true. Yeah, they did have those two good matches. So there you go. I think they have selected Stand and Deliver as theirs, but I didn't see that on the broadcast. We go to our next match. Swipe Right, the tag team of Brad Baylor and the best name in the history of wrestling, Ricky Smokes, with their friend Jackson Drake, the Evolved Champion ringside, the Vanity Project. Swipe Right taking on OTM. Last week, they got involved in the backstage segment with the gifts and everything. So this is how this match got put together. Right away, OTM are throwing these guys around in the ring here. Like, the size difference is pretty funny with OTM being a bit bigger here. Bronco just throwing Jackson Drake on the outside, keeps trying to get involved, and he gets thrown in the ring quite a few times here. There's Ricky Saints, who comes in with this like kick to the rope that hits him in the face. I thought
Ricky Smokes.
What did I say? Ricky Saints?
Saints, yeah.
How could I mess up Ricky Smokes? I love this guy so much. Sorry,
Ricky Smokes.
Too many Rickies. But Ricky. There's then Lucien, who finally comes in after they were beating down on Bronco. And again, he's throwing these guys around like nothing here, hitting clotheslines in the corner. Eventually, they send Swipe Right out, the one of them out, and then they hit Ricky Smokes with the Alabama Slamma combo move for the 1-2-3. But, you know, I like Swipe Right, the stuff we've seen from these guys. I hope next year they could be a prominent fixture here on NXT. They should be something that
they need to be. See. I think
back just a few weeks ago, Jackson Drake, I know he's the more so the Vanity Project, but that match was a show stealer on that second New York taping. But these guys are like ridiculous. They're funny. They're young. I think this is something that NXT could definitely use. Like yesterday, we could have used a team like these guys more in this year. OTM, I didn't think they looked necessarily bad in this match. I know we're not necessarily super high on these guys, but I would say I think Lucien is the standout of OTM. He seems the one that kind of gels in the ring a bit more.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd agree with you. I think this was a much better showing from OTM than the match they had the other week against Hank and Tank, which was awful.
Right. You didn't like that one.
And I thought they let Swipe Right actually got a lot more in than I thought they would in this match as well. I just found there were quite a few moments with OTM in this match where they set up something that looked like it was going to be pretty cool. And then it wasn't. Like, Bronco Niebuhr did this whole, like flip around onto his shoulders thing, which looked great, the setup. And then it was just for a little backbreaker on his shoulders. I was like, oh. Lucian Price did this, like, float over move. We see quite often the float over into, like, the like, power drive knee to the face. He does this beautiful-looking float over and then delivers a slap to the chest. And I'm like, come on. Like, it's... There's definitely, like, things in there that could be good, but I'm just... Everything sort of has me, like, sighing a little bit watching these two because I just feel everything should be better. So I don't know. But this was certainly a better showing than they've had recently. So
like, it was a quick match, but...
Yeah.
Like, I think they work better when they have these smaller guys they can throw around.
Absolutely.
But I don't know if this baby faces them in this situation.
They seem baby faced in this crowd, don't they? They're pretty into them.
I just think, like, if we had Swipe Right or this Vanity Project as a unit, like these young, annoying, like Gen Zers who can actually go in the ring, as far as I'm concerned, of what we've seen, like, count me in. Like, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Like, let them be annoying. Let's go and hate these young kids who are, you know, doing the silly stuff with the gifts and the ladies and the swiping right and stuff. Like, I'm kind of for that. We need that. We need tag teams. And they are already, dare I say, they are my favorite tag team in NXT. They're not even in NXT, really.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. So there's the rub. Next year is going to be the year, calling it. More, well, not quite yet. There is another an award. But first we go to Jordynne Grace backstage with Thea Hale in the locker room, the North American champion, Thea Hale. Jordynne says, Blake tried to ruin your moment last week, and I learned that don't let negativity affect you. And Thea's like, oh, the Juggernaut's getting a little positive. I like that. And she says, why don't you, it would be really great, Jordynne, if you could be in my corner next week against your old pal, Blake Monroe. And she's like, ugh. She says, I don't know if I want to see Blake cry again. And she's like, no, come on. I know you know Blake better than anyone. You should be in my corner. So she hugs. She says, I guess. So Thea hugs Jordynne and she kind of shoves her off like, sorry, I just don't like the hugging thing. But Thea's like, come on, just one. What's wrong with hugging? Come on.
I love her. I love a good hug. Me.
Yeah. For someone you like, yeah, when it's warranted, right? Consent and everything. But hugs are nice. Come on.
Are we getting Jordynne Grace turn next week?
Absolutely. And should destroy.
Is she joining back with Blake Monroe?
What?
I mean, that's the match that's happening, isn't
God.
It?
God. So the Buff like, Batty, what did she call her? Is that what she
Yeah, something Muffin.
Muscle Barbie?
Muscle Muffin.
Yeah. I don't... Okay, that's not like the worst idea, even though we did not like when they were... I just think of when they went to the salon and that was... bad, but
as heels it might work better. Like, we didn't like it because they're baby faces trying to, you know, we don't really care about watching them do their makeup and getting their nails done, but
like,
if maybe you watch, as heels it would work a bit better because Jordynne Grace is really just floating around, isn't she?
Yeah, like, I think as far as this year, like, whenever she's actually wrestled, it's been good. It's been really good. But
yeah,
it's the character and the angles and the storylines that aren't necessarily connecting. And I think a heel turn would be something so good and so needed.
Jordynne Grace versus Julia was this year. Like, that's
a match awesome.
I really liked and surprised wasn't on this list. Because I know that was a TV match, but that was excellent, I thought.
One of the best TV matches on NXT this year. That one comes to mind for sure. Yeah, I would like Jordynne to just destroy Thea Hale next week.
Yeah.
So you're saying put her back with Blake, but I don't know if that makes sense to just be like her diesel. But at the same time, what else is she doing? Like, we've watched wrestling enough where someone, this young kid, is telling this vet to be like, ah, stay positive. Like,
yeah,
she gonna die. She's gonna get killed next week. So this title run is gonna come to an end. And has anyone checked? Has Thea Hale figured out how to purchase a monitor? What was it that she was
what's that?
Remember her tweet like time ago, a few months ago, about
Thea Hale was just bought,
what did I say?
Bought a monitor and not the hard drive, right? Wasn't that it?
Has anyone figured out? She left early when she won the North American title to go home and stream. So I guess she did figure it out. But yeah,
I mean, this title is what happens when you go straight into wrestling and not further education, I guess.
Bless her. We love Thea.
Remember where she got her degree.
Who does?
Chase U.
Oh, right. I was going to say. True. We have the NXT Awards. The last one that they tell us here. Woman of the Year in NXT. Female Superstar of NXT 2025. The nominees are Kalani Jordan, the standout. Tatum Paxley, the outcast. Blake Monroe, the glamorous. JC Jane, the champion. And the winner, Sol Ruka. You know, for me, I kind of did write Sol Ruka down as my pick because she's been the one, kind of like how I said for Javon, as my choice as well. Anytime she's wrestling or scheduled, I know I'm going to get some good stuff. I know I'm going to be entertained. And she definitely had a breakout year. And I don't know. She wrestles really good. And I do want to see where she goes in the next year. But she would be my pick. Like JC, I like JC. She's not necessarily one of my favorites. And everyone else, I can't really pinpoint him. But that's kind of why I picked Sol. What about you?
Yeah, I was between Sol and JC. I think part of me wanted to see JC get it because I don't think she necessarily gets the recognition she deserves. Yeah. Not character-wise, I mean as a performer, because I think she has had a hell of a year. She's been the big focus for a lot of it, you know, with the TNA stuff as well. But Sol is very much the female Javon. You know, she's had a very similar year, like being on SmackDown and Raw and Saturday Night's Main Event and all the rest, and is always spectacular. So I don't think either of them would have been wrong. I don't think anyone else was really in the conversation, to be honest.
Yeah, like Sol comes to mind. Like she's really entertaining to watch and just awesome in the ring. And I kind of want her. I want her to be on the main roster sooner rather than later. But I would like to see her as NXT champion.
Yeah,
like, I would like to see her as NXT Women's Champion in NXT before she.
Like
goes
I
out.
Feel at some point, her and Kalani should be feuding over the NXT title.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
It feels like we've seen them over the North American title, and now they should be the main two women. And maybe get Jordan Grace move up and Fatal Influence move up, and we can just keep them for another 6 months to a year or whatever.
Absolutely, yeah. I want to see her. I would love to see, because we've seen Kalani versus Sol like this year and the year before, that heat wave match. So rematch in 2026 for some gold. Book it. So Sol Ruka, she now has two of these already. I think she got some last year, but she's got two from just tonight in NXT Awards. So as she had two titles this year, she's got two golden NXT bells. Time for the main event. Javon Evans versus Ricky Saints in a bit of a grudge match. Ricky was the one who cost Javon his NXT championship opportunity when he pulled him, the ref, out of the ring, screwing Javon. So right away, Javon attacks Ricky at the beginning of this match, beating him up here, just beating down on Ricky. He's super pissed off. There's super kicks. There's a bunch of kicks. Ricky is just getting booed from this audience. Probably that booing guy completely going off his rocker. Ricky eventually gets some offense and starts to attack Evan's leg here and starts stomping down on it, but not enough for Javon to then hit his big dive to the outside and then slams Ricky into the commentator desk and just starts beating down on him in front of Vic and Booker. He gets Ricky back in with a flying cross body and then the red dot kick. Eventually, Javon hits a tornado DDT, but Ricky kicks out. You know, that's Ricky's finishing move, but he only hit one of them. And I know, Davey, you're going to say he's got to hit three more for him to pin him, right? That's how it works. So hopefully maybe that's what will come, but we'll see. There's a frog splash attempt, but Ricky gets the knees up. And then Ricky hits a sit-out tiger bomb for a two count. There's then another crazy dive to the outside from Javon into, like, the commentator area as Vic Joseph does his best holy crap moment here. Javon gets Ricky in the ring again and connects with the frog splash, but Ricky kicks out. There's a spear from Ricky, and then Saints hits his tornado DDT, but Javon kicks out at one. This is like This is like Omega kicking out of the one winged angel from Osprey in Toronto. But it's because Ricky needs to hit three more of these DDTs, obviously. So he tries to go for it, but Javon hits a cutter out of nowhere and then goes for the triple jump cutter. But Ricky pulls the ref in, and don't you hate when this happens? Javon accidentally triple jump cutters the referee. And while the ref is down, Ricky hits a low blow, and then another ref runs in. Ricky Saints hits the Rochambeau and pins Javon Evans to end NXT here in 2025. But Ricky going over Javon Evans in a sleazy way.
Am I imagining things? Or last week, did they keep on saying, like, Ricky, Javon, one last time, one final time, or the end, or something like that? And they didn't really hit that today. I think maybe they just meant the last match of the year. I don't know. But
right. What'd you think?
Yeah, I thought this was pretty good. Ricky just makes so much more sense as a heel now. And I do like seeing him against people that he can actually hit the Rochambeau on, because it's a much better move than the Tornado DDT. But no, I thought this was pretty good. It's like most of Javon matches, you know, that dive he does across the announce table is always spectacular. I like the intensity at the start of the match. And do you assume this is Javon's last match in NXT?
I don't know. Like, you would imagine the year that he's had, the story was him chasing Oba and chasing the gold. And I feel like NXT, we've seen in the past of the casualties of NXT is people get written off TV in a blink of an eye and could never be seen from again. Or, hey, we're thinking of bringing you to the main roster. So they flip-flop ideas and then maybe go back when they've already made decisions. Does that make sense? Like, I feel like NXT is – I feel like Shawn Michaels books NXT in pencil, not pen. Because I feel like he books things and then they go like, Oba is going to drop – Ricky's going to win the title. And then they go like that. And then they go, actually, wait, let's put Oba back on NXT. I feel like there's a lot of that where things are moving back and forth. And it's kind of weird. So – I don't want, selfishly as a fan and someone who watches NXT every week, I don't want Javon to leave just yet, but they keep hitting over the head the free agent stuff. He's appearing on Raw, SmackDown, and it's like, I think they want to capitalize on this guy is super young.
I mean, it's whether you have, as part of the story of his free agency, he says, I can't wait, but I have to win the NXT title before I move up. And that could be him choosing NXT until Stand and Deliver or something. I don't know. It's because they are hitting it hard on Raw and SmackDown, these free agents.
Like, would it be so crazy? You know, we've been joking when Hangman was champion and going up against Fletcher, we were calling, like, wouldn't it be cool, storyline-wise, if Fletcher were to go into All In Wembley and Ospreay's the one chasing, and the story is like, hey, Ospreay, I got the title before you. What if Leon Slater next week beats Oba Femi and Javon is like, yo, bro, like, what the hell? What the hell?
Yeah.
And there's a story there or something. I don't know. I could be totally reaching, but like, I think we need a shakeup of the men. I think NXT as a whole, I think there does need to be some move ups and call ups and moving pieces, because we've seen certain acts far too long. And sometimes, as we've seen in this show, for, as you said, we've covered NXT for a long time here at Post Wrestling, they need to cut and move sometimes. So, like, Lexus King lost in 9 seconds tonight. Yeah. What does that tell you about maybe the future for him?
It also forces people to step up, right?
Yeah,
like the women's division especially has so many. Like, look, we're talking about Kendall Gray should win the championship next week, and she's only been on TV for 6 weeks, it feels like, you know, hasn't been on NXT TV for long, but it's other people that you might not even think about that start to get a chance when you move these people up. But it's tough. Like, you have to get rid of people as well in order to do that, not just in NXT, but the main roster, to make room for these people.
No, absolutely. I like this match. Obviously, I think, I don't know, obviously, after our conversation, like, Ricky versus Javon should happen at a pay-per-view or a PLE. I mean, Like, the next step should be Javon gets revenge. He was screwed here. Like, Javon lost in a dirty, like, Ricky cheated. So I would imagine we go back to this one last time. I like this episode. Obviously, it's a taped episode, but it didn't necessarily feel like a taped episode. There was some solid matches. I think maybe the main event here with Javon and Ricky was my favorite, but I enjoyed seeing Ren pull out some fun wrestling against JC Jane. I enjoyed Moose and Ethan Page as well, and then the NXT awards and so forth. So decent episode and a fun way to kind of end the year with NXT. They didn't mention one NXT award, so I'll bring this up before we go to just quick predictions for next week. Moment of the year. Now, this is going on Wikipedia. They didn't reference this, and I haven't seen it on social media, but if you had to pick moment of the year for NXT, you want me to list them here? These are weird.
Oh, please list that. Yeah, I was going to say it's going to be something with Mr. Iguana or Henry or something, isn't it? It's going to be something stupid.
Okay. Blake Monroe debuts. Ricky Saints debuts. Tatum Paxley wins the NXT Women's title at Halloween Havoc. Vicaire becomes double champ at Roadblock. NXT versus TNA Brawl on NXT September 30th. JC Jane defeats Stephanie Vicaire. Channing Stax Lorenzo turns on Tony D'Angelo at Stand and Deliver. Trick Williams wins the TNA title at Battleground. Joe Hendry appears out of nowhere. And the Hardy Boys win the tag team titles in NXT. Wow. I don't really like any of these moments, to be
honest. None of them really blew my mind.
There wasn't. It's all about the moment. Stephanie, that's the other show.
Stephanie becoming double champ? I don't know.
I guess so. None of Shiloh Hill's promos were included in Moment of the Year.
He's waiting for 2026 to break through.
I don't know. None of those necessarily stand out as like, whoa, I guess when Stax turned on Tony.
Sure.
I don't know. Worst moment of the year. That would be something else, but we're not mean on this show. However, if you liked hearing us talk about best of NXT in the year 2025, Davey and I, once again, have been invited to the post wrestling best and worst of 2025 show in just 2 weeks. We will be joining John Pollock and Wei Ting at the Post Wrestling Cafe to talk about the best and worst of pro wrestling, and not just NXT. I don't know if NXT will make any of these lists, but there will be lots of talk of best wrestlers, best matches, moments, worst, the whole lot. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we're very excited about joining John and Wei for this best of stuff, because it's real hard to think of worst stuff for me. I try to block it out, but I'm excited. This year-end stuff, I always get excited about this. But
yeah, help us out. We'll you can use the Facebook group as well. We'll maybe, once we know the lists, we'll put it up there, and we'll definitely spy on some of your thoughts as well. We do have some feedback as well for this
show. Go for it. Read it,
we have some of our listeners giving their votes for the awards. We had Frank Sulu, Fire Frank, who says male superstar of the year.
You just doxed Frank, bro.
Yeah, well, serves him right. male superstar of the year, Obafemi. Female superstar, JC Jane. Tag team, Hank and Tank. Moment of the year, Hardy's return to WWE. NXT to face Fraxium at MSG. Match of the year, Oba versus Javon versus Trick. And best PLE, show of the year, Stand and Deliver. And then Cameron says, tag team of the year, Leon and Javon. Even though it's very recent, by far the most entertaining tag team to watch. Female superstar of the year, JC Jane. Despite not being the best in the ring, she's solid and actually underrated on the mic. She's made a lot of upcoming talent look good and really helped elevate talent. Hopefully she does the same at New Year's Evil. Match of the year was the Women's Iron Survivor, because breakout stars, fantastic in ring, exactly what NXT is all about. Might be my favorite WWE match overall this year. Wow. PLE of the year was Deadline. Great concept and still enough to really boost it over other events. Moment of the year, JC beats Steph. Didn't see it coming and has really taken JC from being meh to someone who shone. Men's Wrestler of the Year, Javon. Despite losing all his title matches, he's still so over and so entertaining, improving on the mic all the time, and has such an original promo. Thanks for being our NXT friends.
Thank you. Thank you, Frank and Cameron, for writing in feedback there. I liked your picks. I think we're kind of on the same wavelengths there with some of those choices. Quickly, next week, Tuesday, January 6th, NXT New Year's Evil. We will be live right after at 10:05 p.m. Eastern right here on Post Wrestling. Quickly, predictions of what happens. Tatum Paxley versus Izzy Dame and the Culling are banned from ringside. Who is winning the grudge match?
So Izzy won the first one, right?
Yes.
So Tatum's winning this one.
Yeah. And then we go to the cage, right?
Yeah.
Or the dollhouse bunkhouse match.
Yeah.
Right? Something like that. The dolls are coming back. The Chainsaw Charlie match or something is going to happen too, I think. Thea Hale versus Blake Monroe. Sorry, Thea Hale with Jordynne Grace versus Blake Monroe. So now you've put it in my head that Jordynne Grace is just going to be Diesel to Blake Monroe now. And I think that's the way it's going to be.
I think Blake wins regardless. I feel this title goes back on her. And I think Jordan's turning like
regardless.
Soon.
Yeah.
So why not?
Yeah. Why not take a crazy chance? Yeah. JC Jane versus Kendall Gray for the NXT Women's Championship. I kind of said earlier, like, strike while the iron is hot.
I think
Evolve
so.
Champion, sure, but like, go for it right now.
JC only dropped the title for a few weeks, so she's been champion for a long, long time. Think pretty much the entire Stephanie Vaquer main roster run has been JC Jane as champion as NXT. So I think it's time for her to drop it. I think Kendall's the right person, so go for it.
Okay, I feel that way because I think right now you got to strike while she's hot right now. And I would love to see Kendall Gray be champion going into 2026. So I'm going to also say Kendall. My heart says Kendall, but my mind is saying JC Jane. And that's how I feel about the men's NXT championship match. Obafemi defending against TNA X Division champ Leon Slater. My heart is like, how crazy and cool would it be if they went and gave this 21-year-old TNA wrestler the NXT title? Like, we've saw Trick Williams take the TNA title before. It would just be interesting, even if it's a short run or whatever. It would just be so interesting, and that's why they probably won't do that. They clearly have some
plans. Has that ever happened? WWE Championship one? Oh, well, we've had the tag titles and that, haven't we?
Right, we've had some of the Hardys that, and then the knockout stuff, but yeah. I know it's not going to happen. It sounds silly, like saying I'm hoping that would happen. It would just be like refreshing, you know. It'd be good. Oba clearly has one foot out of the door, and they're not quite sure if they're going to pull the trigger on bringing him up. You said there's vignettes already. Like, will they let people finish their business in NXT? They used to give people send offs. Let's see if they do that.
Oba's clearly moving up. I don't know if Leon Slater right now is the right person for it to go to.
Yeah.
Unless it is just like, you know, we could go Oba to Leon to Ricky, like, pretty quickly.
Sure.
Like, if all these guys are moving up, someone's going to have this title, right?
Yeah.
So yeah. I could see it going back to Ricky Saints soon, because I get a feeling he's going to stick around for a little bit to kind of try and carry the brand, and especially since the heel turn. But will it go to Leon? I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say no, too. Cool. Again, my heart is like, yo, come on, do it. But yeah, I think Oba will retain next week. So there you go. New Year's Evil next week. We'll be here right after the show. Appreciate everyone out there. Happy New Year, wherever you may be. We will be back this Sunday as well with a Poison Ron Alive. If you haven't checked out our World's End review plus Wrestle Kingdom review on the Poison Rana free podcast feed, go to Poison Rana in whatever podcast app or social media app. Give us a follow and check out all the other content that we do, including patreon.com/poisonrana. $5 a month gets you access to tons of other podcast series and shows that we do. So help us keep the lights on. We are two independent podcasters, and we appreciate all the love worldwide. And we will see you in the year 2026. We are very excited. So follow the socials for all the updates of everything that we do.
And thank you to everyone who signed up this week. I've seen we had a few extra subscriptions for the Patreon this week. So really appreciate it. Thank you for treating yourself and us to a little Christmas present this year. This is our last show of 2025 for all of you, but we are sneaking in one last one for our family members tomorrow, and we'll catch the rest of you in 2026.
Absolutely. Yes. Very excited for some of the shows coming up, and appreciate all the listeners, whether it's here on the Post Wrestling or Poison Rana. If you haven't checked out our Home Alone 3 review, John Pollock, GoldenEye review, tons of shows, Best Match Ever, part 1 and 2 coming out. So many podcasts coming out in the near future. So appreciate the love, peace and love to you and yours. Happy New Year. And we'll chat very soon. That is it. That is all. Take care. Goodbye. Be safe. And 6-7.
Ahoy!
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit LGUSA.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. PostWrestlingCafe.com, $6 gets you in the door.